Okay, let's begin with the Maral, page one, which is not marked. We're having a discussion now about this a notion of the change in history, or how there was a utopian notion of what the world should have been like, and then it changed. And last week we looked at the Netziv and the Haggadah. And the Tzibin Haggadah said that, you know, if God didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, we still would have been there. And he explained, because the world should have been in such a state that it was a constant. Yeah.
When you made the statement that the utopians should have been,
yeah,
and then the reaction was developed. Hashem knows everything that's going to happen. So
right.
Couldn't the argument be made that it's
never
the utopian we think
right
it's supposed to be? But clearly,
right,
that's not what
it
was supposed to be.
Right. It could also, I correct. You know, it's like that. That's why I think what the Rav meant when he said that the story of Adam Harishon is allegorical. What he meant to say, what he did really say, but what he meant to say was that man doesn't exist in Gan Eden. But it's an idea. You know, Rabbi Fendel was once here speaking about Hank. And he said, it was Petumin Chamar, and it's. He said, you know what, whenever you build a school, you have to have a vision of what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Then you realize what you can't do. You know, everyone wants to create the Yeshiva of Elazhin. All right, but you can't create a Yeshiva of Elazhin right now. So you create what you can. But you always keep that vision there to know what's right and what you're compromising on the way.
I would disagree with that also, because maybe the vision of that the yeshiva of Elazhin, I don't know what it is, but if I assume it's something with some high level yeshiva, maybe for that generation, that was the yeshiva.
Okay, no.
We need the yeshiva that we have.
Okay, so again, so even right now with this, you should understand. He said, even with Hank, he said, we made compromises. But we had an idea of what we wanted to create, and we know that, look, the Rav created Maimonides. The Rav doesn't believe in mixed classes of boys and girls, but he has a habit at the time. To say otherwise with everything, I think, is incorrect. But not neither here nor there. That's not what we're discussing. We're still this is a notion here. So here you have the Marama Prague.
So why did he think that way? Because if he would have changed it, they would have probably in the end...
It wouldn't have happened. He couldn't do it. I went to a co-ed school in elementary school.
Co-ed classes or co-ed school?
Co-ed classes, right? You went to Rambam. That's what you are like you are.
Shiva Masif Potosom is Kamenitz.
Oh, you didn't go to Rambam. Still a nice place.
Who's to say that separate learning is the idea?
The what?
Why is it assumed that separate learning is...
Maybe one day we'll have a shiur on it.
Yeah.
Al halacha, why it's supposed to be.
Really? It is supposed to be halachically?
Yeah. No post
like
says it's supposed
this,
to
be.
We will. But let's continue.
Okay.
Let's continue. By the way, this is being recorded. I should stop and start again.
Yeah. We haven't started yet. So
it was started. We should start and start again. All right, they'll throw me off as soon as we go. She'im yom at the bottom right. So we're back in Rashi. We're going to get off Rashi, I think, next week, right? She'im yomru ha'umos listem atem, right? Ve'im tomer haloma she'kona eved kona rabo. If a slave has a kinyan on something, so the master owns that property. Ve'acha she'nosam kenan eved avodim le'achov. Now, and after that Canaan was made into an Eved, you know, by Noah and his curse to them, the Achav to his brothers. Imkain Ainza Gazela, what are you talking about Gazela? Canaan, right? Canaan was an Eved to his brothers. So that means Shem, who owned really the land of Canaan, when the Canaan are my living, it's not your land, it belongs to Shem. So what are you using the Lashon of Listim? You stole it from them. It wasn't him. If a slave picks something up and you take it from the slave, the master takes it from the slave, I'm not stealing from you. This is my money. Masha lecho aris mehem v'yesha taris de'eto mitzvah hatuluyim ba'aris ksiv. So in the Torah later on it says, when it talks about the mitzvahs that are tuluyim ba'aris, v'yarashta v'yashavta. What does it mean, v'yarashta? You will inherit. You will inherit, and then you will live there. V'lo nikra davaze. And this didn't happen, right? We didn't walk into Eretz Yisrael and say, oh, Yerusha's here. Okay, the Yerushim are here. Let's give him Eretz Yisrael. Masha bo lehem ayidei evet shalehem Yerusha. Ki loshen Yerusha mashma shehu shal chomi avosecha. Yerusha means it's yours from your fathers. U'masha omru listem atem. Einu rotzul me listem mamish. In other words, when Rashi says, when they're going to say listem atem, it doesn't mean mamish are going to say you're going to have them. Rak rotzul loma derech listem lokachtem ha'aretz. How did you take back Eretz Yisrael? In the derech, and I will explain this what it means, in the derech of listem, the eino derech Yerusha. What does that mean? Now, so here is the Maral saying, what Rashi is saying. It's not that you were stumped, but you didn't go through the path that you were promised in. Why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? So look at the next piece, which is really very similar to the idea of that we were discussing really with the Netziv.
What is this?
It's Minchas Mar Cheshes. He's a modern writer. But I think it's very appropriate for this. Because of Rashi, Amar Rav Yitzchak lo ha-yitzorach la-haskalos ha-torah ela me-ha-chodeshes ha-lachem she mitzvah rishona shen stavu bo Yisrael. Umatam pasach bebereishis, so why did you start bebereishis? Koach masav higid la-amo la-seis lohem nachlas goyim. She'im yomru umos ha-olam li-Yisrael listem atem, they say listem atem, she kabashtem arzos Shivas Goyim, you took over the land of the seven nations. Heim Omrim Lahem, Kol Arusha Kodesh Baruch Hu. What do you want? If everything belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hu Bara V'nosna Lashe Yosha Be'enav. He created it and he gave it to whoever he thought that deserved it. Yosha Be'enav. Beritzona Nosna Lahem. Uberitzona Not Lahem V'nosna Lono. Akan Lashon Rashi. So I think now the way we're going to attack this, we're going to have a nice pshat what Rashi is, perhaps what Rashi is meaning to say. Hinei kvar nisparsha lemalo shekavonis Rabbi Yitzchak ba'amra sha'atara hosa tzricha l'haschem echadosh ezelechem. In the first ketta that he wrote here, he says, I already explained to you why did we start, what was the question, why did you start from Sefer HaMitzvahs, why are you starting from here? Really, what it means is you should have started from the third month. This is beginning Matan Torah. And then after that, you should tell us all the stories. First, we have to know what is Torah. Who gave it to us? And after that, we look what's inside it. Okay. However, if it started from there, from the third month, we wouldn't understand its meaning. First, we have to know when is the third month. If the nations of the world will say to Israel, listem atem shekavashtem arzo shivas goyim, hakavana bezed degam hotaz koach masav nachutzlan liyisrael leita b'shvil hatorah gufum. Israel itself will know that it was for the Torah itself. Ki bahada yediyah zos hayim afriya lelima v'kima v'harbatzis hatorah. Ki kashe yirtzu hamorah, when the teachers want to teach us, la'am Hashem, derech Hashem. Ulalamdam Torah, to teach them Torah, yit'anu, they will have a taina hamon ha'am v'yomu listem atem. So that you're going to go out and you're going to teach the rest of the world Torah, and everyone's going to say to you, you're going to teach me Torah. Shekivashtem arzo shivas amama v'yatilu mum b'kodshem. What are you talking about? How could you give me Musar? They'll put a mum in our kachim loma shagam Yisrael no se degel hatara listem hen. Even these people, these so-called from people, you're just as bad as us. You're listem. Artsos me'umas acheros. You stole land from everyone else. L'chein k'dei shelo yinakru tzrimo lomar ploni shirot zelil motora. Kama mucharen me'asav. Shekoshim artsos lohem. In order for us to explain this, so God started from the beginning of the story, Oretz. Ha'oretz and Meloah, everything belongs to God. V'yad achshav natan lahem, v'achshav natan lahem, v'natan lafres, he gave it to them, he's giving it to us. But what does that mean? Zos? Boracheres. Mi'acha sheha'olam lo hayenoeg lefi hara'ui. This is the key. The world wasn't running the way it was supposed to be run. Remember what we said, that Bara brought it the other week. How was the world supposed to be created? Everyone has their own place. That's it. You don't have any right to mishabate somebody else. That's what God, that was the utopia God created.
Wait.
Let me have an idea. The ain ze inyan listus kigam hem kanu osam aida kivush milchama. Now all the stories make sense. Why are you going through all of the stories? Who started all this? We didn't start all this. Who was the one who went around stealing and starting wars to capture other lands? Va'umos noagim ba'ofan shakol da'olam gover. So how did the nations of the world govern themselves? Kol da'olam gover. Whoever is more powerful, owns the other person.
Wasn't Nimrod the first one?
Exactly. Next shot, it says, if the umos all made a decision together, shemisha yachzik karka min hahefker, oz yikna osam b'chibush mukama, yiyen nechshav shalom. And they, it says, if they had the United Nations, you know. All right, whoever is the stronger gets to rule the other. Really, what should have been? You have your land, I have my land. You shouldn't be attacking me, I shouldn't be attacking you.
So it should have sat empty until we got there.
Well, no, when Avram Avinu should have been his. Basically, should have been his. Right? Now, this was Klal Yisrael's land. You get Eretz Yisrael. You don't get America. You don't get Russia. You don't get anything else. But what happened? Even however you want to look at Canaan, Noah's Canaan fought to take over this land. He said, but that's not the way it should have been done. Everything should have been. Everyone has their own nation. And you started, instead of going down the route, the road of utopia, you created this notion of war.
Well, but wait a second. Hashem made clear when he told Abraham to go to Canaan, that there wasn't going to be the Jewish nation in Canaan right away.
But he said you'll have a Yerusha.
Eventually.
Okay.
So and eventually Israel would come and conquer the seven nations. But the plan from the beginning was not that Israel.
So
the Jews
let me develop an idea. I want to develop the idea to show. What I want to develop is as follows. I want to get into the ethics of war because the question is now was if there should have been a certain utopia and then the utopia did not become a realization and the world governed itself according to war, what does that mean? See, we're talking about Derech Listem. Does that mean now that war is a Jewish concept and therefore Torah governs it? Or does war become a non-Jewish concept in total, and it doesn't govern it?
It's neither.
One more. You have to listen to an idea before you reject it. I know it's not your story.
One more point I just want to make is that the idea that utopia ended before there were more than two people, because all you had was Adam and Eve.
Again,
and
I quote. I understand. But first of all, if I tell you it's an allegory and it's not historical truth, then...
I'm sorry. So I'm a religious fundamentalist fanatic, so I believe it's the truth.
Okay, so if that's the truth...
So if you accept that's the truth,
So for 6 hours, there was a utopia. Right? For 6 hours on a Friday afternoon, there was utopia. Then
yes.
That utopia was created by God. Man rejected it.
Maybe though.
Take it from there. However you want.
Everything that's
happened
since is getting us to a point where we go back to that.
Maybe. Very nice. So that's what I'm discussing. It's like I just heard something on the radio. They were attacking Cortez and the whole thing with the green thing. And he said, it's very nice, but it's kind of silly if we're going to be the only country without planes. And the person from Hawaii said, you know, those of us who live in Hawaii, we may have an issue with this whole thing of no planes, because how do we get back to America?
You can row.
There's a tax on
cows. Why?
Because
you get in a canoe and the boat and row it. It's only if everyone agrees to this you could govern that way. So if the whole world is not going to listen to this, you can't stay in your land, I'm going to throw you out. So if you have the ability to attack and take over the what do you want from everybody else? That's what I mean. God is telling you, this is the history. This is what I wanted. This is not what happened. Don't blame me. Blame yourself. You hear that? Jimmy? That's what he says. God said, what do you mean? So it would have been foul. No. You should have said, this belongs to you. You understand? When the world was created, everyone should have known who God is. It's man who ran away from knowledge of God. They didn't do it that way. So, no, Canaan's ours. It's not yours. That's why Yehoshua had to go in and conduct war. Very nice idea. In other words, what does it mean? What is Rashi's pshat? Again, it's an answer to the guy, but it's also an answer to us. You know, when they say to us, you're just like anyone else, right? And how many people attack us? What do you want? You're going to attack and throw us out of Eretz Yisrael? Well, yeah. You created this scene. You created this. I want to use this idea to just maybe somewhat defend the Satmar Rebbe in a few minutes.
But I just don't follow.
What aren't you following?
Yeah. Like how Jews end up blaming for being attacked?
Oh, don't get into that. Please. That's a silly thing. What we're talking about over here.
I didn't mean it that way. I just meant I don't understand the logic of the point. If you could just explain. I'm just missing it. That's all.
All the Rashi's saying is when they come over to us and they say that you guys are going to have them also. We can say to him, what do you want for us? So Maharal says, it doesn't mean we're getting off him. You're right, we're conducting war. You started this. You created a world of Kol Da'olam Gavar. You created a world in which the stronger person takes over the other land. So that's why. You're right, God gave it to me. So how come, if God gave it to me, why did you conduct war against me? Why didn't you do it with Derech Harusha? What do you want from me, Derech Harusha? Are you going to give it to me? You weren't going to give it to me.
Who's speaking to who?
I've always said that Rashi doesn't mean that I'm really using this in the United Nations. I think he's really talking to me. He's talking to me as someone who believes in Torah. And the one who believes in Torah and has the questions, how could I be doing, why am I different than anyone else? This is explaining to me an answer. You get up and one of you quote Rashi in the United Nations, good luck. Have a good time.
When you say he's speaking to Torah Jews telling them.
Yes. Explaining to the Torah Jew the efficacy, the ethical stance of why we were allowed to take over Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu. With Yehoshua. So now let me just develop this idea differently. Taking this into the next stage. If this is true,
meaning that we had an ethical...
In other words, what God is saying is, listen, the conducting of war is not really what I didn't want this to happen. I was going to allow you to do it in with the Sheva Umos. No, so what happened? Let me put it differently. The Torah is a blueprint of God looked into the world. This is how the world will conduct itself. For example, next week's Parsha Tzava. So the Soloveitchik once said that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is missing next week. Why is it missing? Because really, the Beis HaMikdash that we had is not the Beis HaMikdash that was supposed to have been.
Okay.
Not the first one. Maybe both of them. Why? Man, Moshe Rabbeinu, had he accepted the mantra immediately of going down to taking out Klal Yisrael without saying no, and then sending an Aaron. So what happened was that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, and Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. What should have been is that Moshe should have been the Kohen Gadol and the Melech. Had they done that, they would have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael. It would have been Yemei HaMashiach. And at Yemei HaMashiach, man will be able to see the Kodesh Baruch Hu with all five senses. Wow. Therefore, now that it didn't happen, so what was the Beis HaMikdash created? In an environment of saying, to teach you how to appreciate the Kodesh Baruch Hu's existence in this world without use of the five senses. That's really, so that's the same idea here. So now the question I want to know, the Torah that was written, was it in the sense when we talk about now, does it look at the Torah itself would teach you the theories of milchama? Because this is the way the world is conducted. Or it's not that something that you can learn from the Torah, but it's learned outside of the Torah. For example, let me show you the Netziv, how he looks at this. Look at number 19.
This is a topic well thought of over the centuries?
I would assume it wasn't. You know what? You have to understand that we haven't had a government since, you know, from 1948, we had 2,000 years. So there wasn't anything structured as that to have these kind of discussions. Later on, it became discussion, and then modern poskim deal with it.
The non-observing Jews who founded the state of Israel in 1948 didn't.
Well, what
think
did they?
Of any of this?
How did they?
Came from Europe.
Actually, they may have. They may have thought of it, but in a different way than you think. They may have thought of it through the Netziv. Look at the 19. Miyad Ishachov. This is going to come late to sometime. Perish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emosai HaAdam Nenash. When is a man killed for killing someone else? B'shoi Sharoi Linhog Ba'achva. When? You should have treated him with love. Masha Ein Kein B'sha'as Milchama. But not in wartime. B'eis L'sna. That's the time you hate a guy. Oz eis laharog ve'ein onish al zeh klal. Kikach nosar olam, because that's the way the world was founded. Ukedisha b'shvuas malchus tekov l'chad meshisa ba'alma loma ensha. That's what it says in Shvuas, that if you kill 1/6 of the people, you're not punished. Va'afilu melech Yisrael mutar lasos melchamas orishas. Interesting line there. Even a melech of Jews can start a melech of Rishus, a non-obligatory war. What the Netziv is standing for, and it's interesting because Yisraeli, a modern post that died in 1994 in Amud Yamini, was using the Emek Dava, using the Netziv to explain the concept of war is based on international law. It's not a Jewish concept per se. He's saying is, if the world has a certain guidelines, those are the guidelines that we have to conduct to. In fact, please, wait till you have an idea. It's an international war. It's not the way we conduct war. This is the way the Ummah of Olam. He says, Yisod HaOlam is that the foundations of the world, you conduct yourself. So the Rav Shachter goes on, number 25, fascinating. Hanira Pashat, the low rock Nechemes is Gonana Shapikuach Nefesh Mamish. So what do you think? You know, war should only be conducted if they're going to kill you. Really? Let me ask you a question. Supposing, in 1967, Ummah HaOlam were going to say, you know, the Arab nations were going to say, whoa. We're never going to attack Israel. Never going to attack Israel. Never. Trust me. We're just stopping the straits. You can't use the boats. You can't come this way. Would Israel have a right to conduct war at that point? When Nazi Germany says, we're not doing anything. We're just going to go into Czechoslovakia and we're going to make a big up Germany. That's what we're doing. Did Czechoslovakia have a right to fight if it wasn't a din of Pikuach Nefesh? So Rav Shachter writes, he says, HaChashuv Etzlenu K'mechemes Mitzvah, Shori L'Bnei Noach. Of course it's Motzah to B'nei Noach. Ela Av, and I'll tell you why he's saying that, because we're going to get into the whole thing with B'nei Noach. He said, based on our idea that the world was supposed to be conducted according to utopia, so you say, what's the nafkamina? The answer is, we'll see that Sam Sofer writes, they have no right to conduct war and to take another nation's land over. No, he says, B'nai Noach don't have the right to do that. But what happens if they do it? Dina de Machus and Dina. Then we still have to follow them. So he writes, Ela af his gunnina shall artsam va amalodisam nami. But even if they're going to just protect themselves, kugon la mashal, ilabo atzavo harusi la America v'sivivu chayilehem is Washington, ir habira. The Russians come to, and okay, maybe now we'd give it up. Oh, Zafilo Yura Kitana Kiskranton. I don't know why what he has about Scranton. Paramus. So far I think 2 out of 3 would give up. Velo Bigshul Laharog, oh Afilo Lachvol Bashum Banat. They didn't even have in mind to kill anyone. They just want to economic reasons. El Arak Lasabeasa Ir Hayir Artsam, Levalti Otaha Shultan America, Elitia Mikanva Ela Taha Shultan Russia. Of course America had the right to defend themselves. But artsam and maladasam, b'chein hu b'pshitas min haga'olam ki yadua. So what is Rav Shachter saying? He's really using the Netziv. So saying is, that I think what it is saying is that the Muhammad itself is not a Jewish concept. Yeah, we write, Ace Muhammad, Ace of Snow. It became what? How do you conduct war? And according to the rules of warfare, as long as what? I mean, obviously, as long as it's fair, as long as it's ethical, so however you want to define it, it's not just, there's still other, you know, there is a, you know, in Avraham Avinu, there's an amazing medrash. When Avraham Avinu, after the Muhammad with the 4 or 5 kings, so he's afraid that he lost his Yerusha and Eretz Yisrael. So the medrash says, why? Maybe I killed one innocent bystander. I find that an amazing medrash. Maybe I killed one innocent bystander, and therefore maybe I lost my entire Yerusha. Now, check that medrash. We'll keep it to the side. I'm trying to figure out now whether that medrash is going to fit under what rubric, under what idea of war kind. But I think the Netziv clearly understands that Milchama is not a Jewish concept, it's the way mankind conducts itself. Which will have some, for instance, just in this idea, what would the Netziv have to say about America bombing that German city that we were just...
Dresden.
What would Netziv say about that? I don't know.
It's a good start.
Would he be able to say, listen, this is the way the war was being conducted then. So America had the ethical right to conduct that way. What would he have said about dropping the atom bomb? Could he have said, this is the way warkind is being conducted? And by the way, the Amud Yamini writes, he said, and if war was outlawed, if all the Umos HaOlam would say, no more war. I mean, that's the whole point of it.
They tried to outlaw war after World War I. I would argue that there has never in history.
Yes.
This whole
you don't
idea
have to argue. Everyone knows. We
has
know.
Never existed. There is not one instance in history where a war was conducted based on ethics of war. So it's somebody. But
Jimmy, our job in our world is to be an Or LaGoyim.
Yes.
No one's going to agree with us. But you still have to know what's right and what's wrong, what's compromised.
No, but when it comes to war,
you want to kill everyone.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that history is guided by Hashem. And that what happens in terms of wars happening, happen. And to the idea of trying to get an ethics of war, there is no greater example than that today. You can't just
Jimmy, if you will join Sahal instead of sitting here in America, you will find in Sahal this is a discussion all the time. This is how they teach their soldiers how to conduct themselves. We're not like the Umos HaOlam. I don't know why you're fighting it.
But
it's so proud that we're not like Umos HaOlam.
I 100% agree.
So what are you arguing about? What do you want?
What I'm saying to you is that the idea that there is a that mankind has developed, and you said it was the non-Jews, by the way, we were talking about now, right?
Yeah.
The idea that there is this ethics of war is a farce. It's never existed. And if you look at it today, the international body that is supposed to enforce international law
good.
Supports...
So, you know what? So my answer to you is we're talking about...
And it works against good people.
Okay, Jimmy, we're talking about Jewish ethics. What we perceive the world should be like.
Although to respect, it's an irrelevant question. Totally
it's
irrelevant.
Not irrelevant because now we have a country and we're trying to create.
Yes, but the country
has the ability to project
Israel
power.
Is the most moral nation in history.
Exactly. You know why? Because the discussion is like this.
No, I disagree with that.
Okay.
We're the most
why are we now moral?
Because Hashem
just so happens.
Because we are God's chosen people, and that is our. We didn't develop this on our own through.
You're right. You know how God taught us. You know how God taught it. So you want to know how the first Israelis came up with this notion? Because the Malach taught it to them, and they had a natural inkling of what was right and what was wrong. So what are you arguing about, other than wanting to argue?
Because this idea, because you're talking about the because what you started this with was the idea that there's this that the non-Jews that we can develop for them a.
No, I'm not talking about... Excuse me, stop. I'm not saying that we're sitting here and explaining to the Umos HaOlam what's right and wrong. It's just the opposite. This entire discussion of Rashi was directed to me. If you recall in the first thing, you were getting up and you were saying, oh, let's tell the Umos, here's Rashi. I'm saying, don't kid yourself. They're not going to listen to us. But this is for me. But this is for me. This is to create our own set of morals. All right, it doesn't really matter. Let's continue. So the first idea could be that the idea of war kind is not a Jewish concept whatsoever. It's purely meant, it's a non-Jewish concept, but it's premised upon international law in the end, how people conduct themselves.
If war isn't a Jewish concept.
And by the way, and then we said, that was the idea behind the Netziv, when the Netziv says, God's Hashkacha Pratis changed with Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why? Because now, since the Umos HaOlam, let's say, are not conducting themselves the way they should have been conducting, so Umos HaOlam have to be risen and destroyed in order to protect the Eretz Yisrael, to protect the Jews. Right? In other words, if the way Jimmy would like to put it, said, the reason why America is the shining light, is the fact that it's so successful in this world, is because it's necessary, it was necessary and is necessary still, to protect the Jews in Israel.
But that's now changed.
Okay. So at the end, we'll see what happens, how God will change the world. Now that they're only protecting us.
Because we can't look to America.
My God. All right, Jimmy. We're not having a political discussion here.
But it's not just politics. It's history. Okay. It's what's going on in the world. You can't divorce the two.
So I'm saying it will change. It will change.
Did God command us to go and invade the seven nations? Did he tell us to go to war?
So by the way, if you... That's the hope. That's another point. I'm glad you brought it up now. The fact that we were supposed to have Yerusha, and we didn't have Yerusha. So how did we get the Sheva Umos? God commanded us. Then he threw us out of the land in the Beis HaMikdash. You're out. How do you get back now? How do you get back now? Could this possibly, now do not jump down my throat, but you know the anti-Tzioni idea of the Satmar and others were what?
Yerusha.
It's Yerusha. You can't just come back now. You got there the first time. You know how? I told you to do this. I didn't tell you to do this in 1948. What gives you the right to do it?
That's actually a good argument.
Thank you. Therefore, by the way, now you appreciate more and more the answer to say, oh, we didn't go back. Umos HaOlam said you can go back. They created this new phenomena, a war called the Olam Gavar. They created the fact that they're the owners of the land, and they said, it's yours. Zeigesund.
Is and that on Yerusha?
What? No. But it's saying is, if you didn't know, the answer which they gave to the Rebbe was, you're 100, maybe you're right. I mean, Rav Shachter said in the answer, all right, even if you're right, what do you want me to do? But let's say you're right. It should have been, you weren't allowed to go, and the God gave it back to you, because now you're not conducting according to Torah. So now the question is, so how do you want to go? Called Olam Gavar. So if the nation of the world say, okay, it's yours. Okay. It's mine. I didn't do anything wrong. It fits in according. It would fit in according to this idea.
Also,
possibly.
Isn't the best answer?
However,
isn't the best answer though that the fact that we, after 70 years, we're still there, and Israel is growing.
So you're saying that God wanted to give it to that's okay, but God didn't say, you know.
Why is it good when the Umos HaOlam say this is yours,
and
it's not good when the Umos HaOlam say give this back? So why do we pick and choose what we listen to?
Because we're Jewish. No, it could also be for a part of it. All of this is, it's just like when you study halachas the dina, the makos the dina, right? So in Akhenami, as long as the laws are just, then you listen to it. But if it becomes unjust to say, listen, for all the rest of the world, it's one halacha. But for the Jews, it's another halacha. All right, so you lost your right to govern at that point. So that would be.
But when did the Yerusha be what would be actually considered the true map of Eretz Yisrael, which is much bigger than it is today, plus the fact that in 1948, we did not have the area of the...
Again, you didn't get that. We're not going now through Yerusha. I'm saying, according to this.
We didn't have the Yerusha in 1948. In 1967, we took it.
Right, I know. So now you're going to get into this whole thing of, you know, whether we have the rights to be there and to take it over, to give it back. It's a separate discussion. I'm just giving a theory. I'm not...
If Mokhama is not a Jewish concept...
Well, now I want to get to what would be if it is a Jewish concept.
Why would so much ink, for lack of a better term, be given to it in the Torah?
Right.
All through Tanakh.
So now the question I would ask is this. Well, it became, because we conducted ourselves that way.
There are laws about Milchama before we even went to Milchama.
Right.
Say La Milchama, this is what was in the middle. Didn't have Milchama yet.
So now you could say, the other argument is say, no, once God wrote the Torah, meaning he saw that the world was going to be conducted in a certain manner, now I'm going to tell you that it is a Jewish concept. This is how you conduct yourself.
But we conducted ourselves through war.
No. So what I'm saying is, it's as if, like, historical. It's not that, you know, like, let's say Gan Eden is an allegory. It's historical truth. And Gan Eden, there was supposed to be one Torah, one way of living it. The minute Adam Arishon and Chava, the first chait, okay, all bets are off. I know how the world is going to go. Or maybe as soon as as soon as the first Kain Hevel in the murder, as okay, the world is going to be conducted a certain way. The Torah is written a certain way. Could be. So if that's true, what concepts are there in the Torah? So here already the modern writers, because it's not something which really discussed, but the modern writers I'm talking about came up with different possibilities. So one idea, first of all, so that's what Chassam Sofer, the Tzanish, and others were saying. The Umos HaOlam, based on this notion of the Maharal, they don't quote it. I'm putting it all together. I could be totally wrong. But they're taking this notion of the Maharal, they're taking the notion of the Netziv, and everyone is saying that there should have been a certain way of conducting yourselves, and then you didn't conduct yourselves, and therefore the Umos HaOlam have no right. Still, they're saying ethically, that's what the Chassam Sofer writes, so ethically they have no right to conduct war. Oh, except and when? Defensive posture. But they have no right. For example, America had no right to come in and start, you know, killing off the Indians. You didn't have a right to do it. But once and when they did it, who does America belong to? You say, listen, I'm living in wherever the Indians live. You don't have the right to come over here. The answer is, once you've done it, then this idea of Dina de Machlusa Dina. It's interesting, the Ran, there's a famous Ran which has been used, misused, abused, in the Durham, and Daf Chav Ches, talks about Eretz Yisrael, and it says, listen, it, in the sense, Dina de Machlusa doesn't apply there. Why? Because the rest of the world is conducted at this ownership of the land. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's no ownership. Klal Yisrael, we're all shutfim. We're all partners in the ownership of the land. Right? And it was that itself, Eretz Yisrael had a different way, different existence for us. So that's what the Chassam Sofer was talking about, the Napoleonic Wars. He said that Napoleon didn't have a right, ethical right, to take France and take over all of Europe and to go into Russia. What Russia did he have? What if they did it? So how do we conduct ourselves? That was a different thing. So now there's another possibility. So if it is, how do we conduct ourselves? What rules? What rules? What are the possible things that we're conducting? So there are three possibilities. One is the Rambam. The Rambam has a lashon. Yeah, number five. Ein melech nilcham tchila ela mechemes mitzvah. There was a discussion, by the way, when the king of the king of the Jews, when he had to get permission from the Sanhedrin, the Urim and Tumim. And Machlokas Rishonim, because there's a distinction between the Gemara Sanhedrin, the first parak, the second parak. What's a Mechemes Rishus, what's a Mechemes Mitzvah? There those who say that the Melech always has the right to conduct even a Mechemes Rishus, but if he wants to draft anyone, that's Nathanus the Meiri, if you want to draft someone, then you have to get permission from Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin's not simply a judicial branch, it's like a legislative branch. The Ezer he mechemes mitzvah, zu mechemes shivas amamim. Why? Because we were told to do it. Mechemes amalek. V'yazoras Yisrael miyad tzar shabo aleihem.
That's a wide open.
Yeah. Exactly. To help the Jews from a tzar, known as someone who surrounds them, shabo aleihem. That's attacking them. So you remember Rashi in the very beginning, do you remember the story in David and in Brachas? They come to him in the morning, you know, if he's staying up all night, and come, as if they come to him every morning. He said, there's no food. All right, everyone should trade with themselves. Yeah, okay, but there's nothing here, you know. The Gemara gives an example, like sand, you know, you take from here, and then you take it and give over there, so the hole is never filled. There's always... She says, all right, so the righteous attack the people surrounding us. So a lot of people say, oh, you see from here, you can just see you're missing food, so go attack next door. So referring to the right, Rashi wasn't saying you just attack them next door. You're missing food. All right, so let's take over Syria. In other words, we don't have oil, so we'll take over all of Saudi Arabia. No, that's not what it means. It means that they kept on attacking us. But it was like they would hit us here, then they hit us there, and then they would stop, right? That's all it was. And what were you afraid of? One day they would attack us. There already, in the expansion, there Rashi was standing for the proposition, what David was saying is, you know they're going to attack you, they're just not attacking you today, they're going to wait. They're going to wait until they get, you know, a little bit stronger. But they keep on, you know, nodding little by little. That already is, that's within this idea of Miyatzor. So it's the idea of a Rodev. The problem with this idea would be also, it has to be always a defensive war. I have to know they're going to attack me. And the answer is yes. You know, there's no aggression for no reason whatsoever. If we feel that these nations are not going to conduct peace with us and going to attack us, so that's what the Rambam says, then you have the right to have a milchama against them. So that's one theory of war. Then the other concept which they bring down is rodef. Right.
Isn't that the same as the first one, though?
It's except that there's different halachas in it. What would be the different halachas in Rodef? Forget about the hasra. You know, there is a machlokas, but you have to give hasra to the Rodef. Now, hasra of the Rodef, you know, we know that it's in medical ethics, we have the idea of that, the Rodef, when the mother of the mother and the embryo. So each one is being Rodef the other, right? The embryo's trying to kill, the mother is in a sakana, so the embryo in a sense is a rodef trying to kill the mother. And the mother goes to the doctor and says, you know, and then the mother's in a rodef towards the embryo. So who gets to choose? The doctor. Now, the doctor is always going to choose, what would we say? The embryo. Why? Not because of what they're discussing today in the world, because it's suffek versus vadai. It's a suffek life. The embryo, versus the mother is a vadai, she's living here. And therefore, the embryo loses. There, when a rodef is, one halacha, which is really inapplicable in milchama, would be hasra. We do have this concept, you know, go to the, before you attack the nation, go with them and say, you want peace? You want, yeah, maybe that's the hasra. You want peace? We give you peace. You don't want peace? So now we're going to destroy you. Maybe that's the hasra. You don't have to give hasra between the rodef and the nirdaf. The nirdaf doesn't have to say, oh, I'm going to kill you. No. Whatever you got to do to save yourself, you do yourself, you save yourself. But there's one halacha in the rodef that becomes problematic, and maybe this is really where that medrash of Amram Avinu fits in. There is a story of the Gemara brings down about Yoav and Avner. And Yoav captures Avner, is ready to kill him. And Avner says, why are you killing me? What did I do wrong? He says, well, you killed my brother. So Avner says, your brother was trying to kill me. So what do you want from me? He was a rodef. I protected myself and I killed him. I'm not chayiv misa with that. So he points out, he says, yeah, you know what, but one second. You killed him, I think it says in Gemara, like inside the fifth rib. In other words, you could have maimed him. You could have done something else to save yourself without killing him. You, Dafka, went for the kill when you didn't have to go for the kill. The problem with using the Lashon...
Shoot him in the leg.
Right. Something else. That's the problem. The problem with using Rode for Milchama, and I'm not so sure that it's that's something we don't agree to. Rodef, you know what it's called? Proportionate response. That's using West Wing language. Yes. Proportionate response. You can't just, you know, a person comes in. What is necessary in order to stop the Rodef? Now, you can have an expansive view of that also, right? You know, the story of Sharon back in the 1950s when Israel went into Jordan, you know, they attacked a settlement. So Israel, Sharon, took a chevra, went into another town, and they destroyed the town.
Sabra and Shatila, no?
No, that's 1980s. 1980s. And we didn't do that. This was in Jordan. I forget exactly the instance. But what was the idea behind this? Say, listen, this has got to stop. You're not going to come over here and just attack one of our settlements. We're going to. There was a lot of hoopla about that. The question even over there, would he be permitted to do something like this? Is this considered in the Rodev, just in the Rodev concept? In the Rodev concept, could you now apply it to here?
I don't know. It would prevent further attacks
right.
in the future.
So the question in the Rodev would be, and you could hear in the idea of a memshel of a country, it's very different. You know, there is a maral. I remember someone telling me, never quote this maral in public. But
you're going to.
I'm going
to.
But the maral had said when it came to the, with Shechem and Dina, Maral said, if one person of a nation attacks you, you have a right to attack the whole nation. This Maral concept here, although in its, you know, verbiage itself sounds very, but this Maral could be used over here, right? Because this Maral could be standing for the prophecy, right? These people over here in Jordan, you know, they're selling falafel bowls. They're never going to be the ones to attack you. I know, but you're part of a nation, and I have a right to attack you in order to get the rest of the nation to stop attacking me. Maybe. On the other hand, you have the Medrash of Avram Avinu to say one innocent person, he thought he lost the Yerusha. You know, I find that Medrash, by the way, to me, it's like, it's just like this, the Medrash is written thousands of years ago in a world that if, as much as, well, you know what, we're only less than 100 years, or 70 years, how many years after the Holocaust?
75. I mean,
so to say that their type of world was much worse than our type of world, I don't know if we have the rishus to say that. But you think about that 2,000 years ago, the way Rome conducted their wars and the absolute massacre of people, and the fact that if that's the way the world was conducted, to have Chacham and Chazal to say, one innocent person to be killed, you could lose your Yerusha, to me is just an amazing ethical statement that just of a people that I hadn't even think of that.
I'm going to ask you.
That's amazing.
Totally, admittedly, political question.
Oh, boy.
But don't you think at this point... that's true. I'm going to be upfront about it, rather than concerned about you. If you apply... Is there any question...
The world of
Jimmy. If you apply the Rodef theory to Hamas and even the Palestinian Authority, that we don't have the right... to wipe out at the very least, all the Hamas and PA.
You know what? I'm going to try to find the tshuva, but maybe we'll do this next week. If that's exactly, by the way, the question that was asked to Yisrael's Yisraeli. Amuda Yemini, he wrote a whole article about it. But I'll try to find that and print it out. It'll be more of a verbiage next week.
Right.
He wrote it before Hamas. He was writing about General Palestinian at the point. The PLO, you know, PLO were nishtadikim either. You know, Hamas just knows how to do it better.
That was a time, right, when the PLO wasn't entrenched.
It was written in 1994. I think it was written in 19... No, maybe earlier. I'm sorry, I'm wrong.
He died in 1994.
The Palestinian Authority was not entrenched.
Right.
Before.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll get that for next week. Because you see that... The Rodev concept can also be extended. Question is, how much can it be extended? Like, for instance, another idea of a Rodev. Once a Rodev stops, right, you can't turn around and kill the Rodev. The Rodev, it's over. Which is a separate child of the whole thing of what would have been, for example, in Pinchas. Right? And Pinchas, when he kills the...
Zimri and
Kahn. Zimri. Why doesn't Zimri turn around? Okay, no. Okay. He said he could have been potter. That's it. He couldn't do anything. Same thing. Rodev says, stop. I won't do it anymore. He can't kill him. It gets another thing. You know what? Every time they sue for peace, you got to stop right away. You're about to lose. That's why you're going to, you know... And let's say in 67 and 73 and every year, without the Umas HaOlam telling you, no, you got to stop, you got to stop, you got to stop. Supposedly you said, no. We're going to finish the job, so this doesn't happen every 2 years. Right? In the concept of Rodev, you would have an issue. In the concept of the Netziv, to say, no. Unless you're going to tell us, you know, unconditional surrender. That's one thing, right? And the other fourth idea, which we'll talk next week about, which is the most difficult, it's Habab HaMachteris. That's the fourth idea of war. Habab HaMachteris, which usually is considered like a tolda of Rodev. In fact, I was talking to the newest cousin coming into our family, Isaac, and he said, he pointed out to me yesterday, he said, isn't it, Habab HaMachteris is more than a Rodev. You have a greater opportunity. But the Meiri says with the Habab HaMachteris is talking about you have to be 100% sure.
So we like Isaac?
What?
We like Isaac?
Very nice.
Okay.
It's Leah's family, so it's not shy.
In the end, don't you have to see the hand of God and all this? Like, for example, in 67, Israel begs Jordan not to attack. If Jordan had listened to them,
but that's, by the way, that's, so that's what the Netziv said. The Netziv said, there's the Ashkocha Pratis now, more than ever before, because this is the way the world is now being done. We are out and...